Unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I wait every year for this text from Revelation to come up. It's one of the texts I'm going to have in my service, and I can't wait to preach it, although I won't be preaching it at that time. Somebody else. The title of our message this morning is A Vision of Heaven. Now, there's no outline for you in the bulletin because half this sermon is a story sermon and the other half is a regular part. So follow along with our sermon and our story this morning. It's based on Revelation 7, which I'll read to you again in just a moment. Have you ever had a wonderful dream? A dream so wonderful that you just didn't want it to end. A dream so clear, so explicit, so colorful, that it was beyond imagination. One day, the Apostle John was granted by God something better than a dream. He was granted a glorious vision, a vision of heaven. He describes it here in Revelation chapter 7. Now, I'm going to do something very dangerous I wouldn't encourage during any of my sermons. But I'm going to ask you right now to close your eyes. Close your eyes. Listen to John's vision. After these things, I looked and behold a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, of all tribes, of all peoples, of all tongues, standing before the throne and before Jesus the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to Jesus the Lamb." Open your eyes. No more closing your eyes now during the sermon. What a vision of heaven! What did John see? What was there? Who was there? More people than he could possibly count. What did he say? From every tribe, from every nation, from every color, from every language group on this earth. All those people, forgiven sinners, robes washed in the blood of Jesus the Lamb, were there praising God and thanking Him for the great gift of salvation which was theirs because of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who laid down His life for the sins of the world. What a vision of heaven. And how did these people, from all walks of life, get to heaven? John tells us in the text, salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. That is, salvation is a gift of God that came through the sacrifice of His Son, the precious Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And how did these people on the shores of heaven get to hear and trust in this amazing gift of God? Because someone proclaimed God's faithfulness to them. And God's Word brought them faith. And brought them to the very shores of heaven. What a vision of heaven. Forgiven sinners washed in the blood of Jesus, dressed in the white robes of righteousness, praising God forever. And none of us who are here today, who will one day be on heaven's shores, who will be with what St. John calls the great multitude which no one could number, none of us can ever earn our way there. Holy Scripture tells us this clearly in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. That single Bible passage upon which the Lutheran Church has been built, it says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by your good works, so that no one can boast." What a vision of heaven. An eternal gift of God for sinners like you and me, from sinners of every tribe, every nation, every language group on this earth. Now, to help us better appreciate John's vision of heaven, here comes the story. Come with me on a hot summer night to Lawrence, Kansas, for another vision of heaven. Take your seat in Hawk Auditorium and behold the Leipzig Orchestra, the oldest continually running orchestra in the world. The greatest composers and conductors of history have led this orchestra. This orchestra was playing in the days of Beethoven. You watch now as stately Europeans dressed in all their finery come upon the stage. You listen as these professional musicians tune their invaluable instruments. The percussionist puts her ear next to the kettle drum. The violinist plucks his strings. You sit straighter in your seat as the lights go down. The conductor, dressed in a tuxedo with flowing tails, mounts the stage, jumps onto his podium, and he motions for the orchestra to rise. You and 2,000 other people in Hawk Auditorium on that hot, humid summer night stand and applaud. The conductor lifts his baton. The audience holds its breath. You know, there's a second between lightning and thunder. And there's a second of silence between the time the conductor lifts his baton and the explosion of music. And that night it was the world famous Beethoven's Third Symphony, and it began. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Such was the power of that summer night in Lawrence, Kansas, that hot, humid summer night in Lawrence, Kansas. Now, I mentioned the weather, so you'll understand why the doors were open in the auditorium. It was hot. It was humid. And Hawk Auditorium is an old historic building which at that time was not air-conditioned. Combine bright stage lights with formal dress and fast-paced music, and the result is an overheated orchestra. So the outside doors on each side of the stage were propped open with the hope of a cooling breeze. Enter stage right, a dog. A brown Kansas dog. Not a mean dog. Not a mad dog. Just a curious dog. And he passes between the basses and makes his way to the violins and the cellos. His tail is wagging with the music. As he paces between the players, they look at him. They look at each other. And they continue playing. The dog takes a liking to a certain cello. Perhaps it was the passing of the bow. Maybe it was the eye-level view he had of the strings. Whatever it was, this particular celloist caught the dog's attention, and he stopped and he watched. And if you look at the cellist's eyes, you could say she didn't know what to do. She'd never played for a one-dog audience before. And music schools never teach you what dog slobber might do to a priceless 16th century cello. But the dog did nothing but watch for a moment, wagging its tail in beat with the music, and then he moved on. Now, had he passed through the orchestra, the music might have continued. Had he made his way across the stage to the beckoning hands of a stage crew, everything would have gone as planned. But he didn't leave. He stayed at home in the splendor, roaming through the meadows of music. He visited the violins. He turned his head at the trumpets. Finally, he stopped by the side of the conductor. And it was at that moment that Beethoven's third symphony came unglued. The musicians began to laugh. The audience began to laugh. The dog looked up at the conductor and panted. The conductor lowered his baton. The most historic orchestra in the world. One of the most famous pieces of music ever written. A night wrapped in glory, all brought to a screeching halt by a wayward Kansas dog. The chuckle ceased as the conductor turned. What fury might erupt? The audience grew silent as the conductor faced them. This proper, polished German conductor. He looked down at the dog. He looked at the crowd. He looked at the dog. He looked at the crowd and then raised his hands in a universal gesture and shrugged. And everybody roared. The conductor stepped off his podium and scratched the dog behind its ears. The tail wagged again. The conductor spoke to the dog. He spoke in German, but this Kansas dog seemed to understand. They visited for a few moments, and the conductor took his newfound friend by his collar and walked him off the stage. You would have thought that dog was a superstar by the way the audience broke into applause. The conductor returned. The music began, and Beethoven's Third Symphony seemed none the worse for the whole experience. Now, can you find you and me in the story? I can. Just call us Fido the dog and consider God the orchestra conductor. Envision the moment when we will walk onto His stage in heaven. Just like the dog, we will have no right to be there. We will not deserve to be there. We will not have earned it. We know that we don't belong and we haven't earned it because of our sin-filled lives. But we'll walk next to God and we'll stand by His side. And as Revelation says, we'll worship. He too will stop what He's doing. And He'll personally welcome us. Been waiting for you, Al. Got a place reserved for you, Erna. Come on, June. I got your room all prepared. But He will never lead us away by the collar. He will invite us to stay as His guests forever. Guests on His stage. All because of Jesus the Lamb who paid for our sins. We can hardly believe it. We, and as John says, the great multitude which no one could number of all tribes, of all nations, of all peoples, of all tongues, standing before the throne of God and the Lamb and praising Him. And we'll all be there because someone has proclaimed God's faithfulness to us. And through the proclamation of His Word, the Spirit has worked faith in our heart and given us the gift of heaven. Today, as we realize that none of us deserve to be there, that we don't deserve God's gift of heaven, but that's His promise to us through the Lamb who was slain, Jesus our Lord. When we realize that, we cannot help but proclaim God's faithfulness to our families, to our neighbors, to every nation, tribe, and language group on this earth. This is the very reason the Christian church continues to exist, to proclaim God's faithfulness in the person and work of Jesus, the Lamb of God. My friends, if we ever lose sight of this purpose and replace it with any number of other activities, it's time to close and lock the doors of this church building and sell our property so that it can be developed. But look around you today. Take a moment, will you? Humor me. Look around you. Look around. Look around at some of the strange and beautiful and wonderful faces. Look around you and note the changing complexion of our congregation. People from every tribe, every nation, every language. This is a vision of heaven, proclaiming God's faithfulness is the very purpose of our congregation. Proclaiming God's faithfulness to every tribe, to every people, to every language. Why? So that many more people may stand by the conductor's side forever in heaven. So that John's vision of heaven may be a reality. Close your eyes with me one more time. For some of you, it won't be a stretch. You've already been doing it. Close your eyes with me one more time. Listen to John's vision of heaven. After these things I looked, and behold, a multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before Jesus the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with one loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Please open your eyes. Amen. Amen. And amen. Or should I say, bow wow. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We now